It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get back into where you might be able to watch the Royals. We know you can listen to them here on 96.5 The Fan, but where can you watch them? Perhaps some good news on that front. We'll get to that in just a bit. But let's talk some fantasy football. Week 11 of the NFL slate, and we welcome in our guy Paul Charchian from Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. I don't have any fantasy football league controversy for you this week. I just need some answers. We need some help. When it All comes right. to handle yeah. these QB changes and OC changes this week, starting in Chicago, we know Shane Waldron is out the door. That offense has been so bad. What is it, 20-something straight possessions without a score. So what does this mean for Williams, for DJ Moore, and for the rest of that offense?
Yeah, it can't get worse. I mean, right? I mean, maybe. I don't know. It feels like you can't be worse than 20 straight possessions without a touchdown. And I know that saying a long sequence of numbers is bad radio, but I've got to share this sequence of numbers with you and your listeners. If you go all the way back to the last time the Bears played, week six, they rolled into their week seven bye. And week six, by the way, we were feeling pretty good about this Bears offense at the time. They just got done with Carolina and Jacksonville, and things were looking pretty good. Here's by quarter how many points the Bears have scored since week seven. 0-0-7-8-0-9-0-0-0-3-0-0.
A lot of zeros. Phil, you're reading me
That's
in binary.
A lot of zeros. Exactly. You didn't think we'd go binary at any point in this conversation. So they fire Shane Waldron, and Matt Eberflus looks around, and he's like, all right, I got to get a replacement for Shane Waldron. So, okay. We're 31st in passing yards. We're 32nd in passing accuracy. And we're 30th on-target passes. I know. Let's get our passing game coordinator to be our new offensive coordinator. Oh, boy. So this guy's name is Thomas Brown. You may or may not know his history because it's pretty funny. His previous job was the offensive coordinator for Bryce Young in Carolina last year. And you remember how connected these two organizations are, right, on this whole Bryce Young thing. So Young, of course, an epic fail last year, much to the cackling delight of Bears fans who got the first overall pick in the draft because Young was so bad. And then in the offseason, they hired Bryce Young's offensive coordinator. Then they have since turned him into their offensive coordinator. Unbelievable. You almost can't make it up. It's so bad.
So, like, obviously, Swift has been startable there, but a lot of guys haven't been. What about on, like, the Colts end, where now it's back to Anthony Richardson, but no one was getting the ball when it was Flacco either? Is this just, like, a net zero? Like, I feel like it helps Jonathan Taylor, I'll say. Outside of him, I'm not sure anyone on the Colts benefits.
Yeah, I do completely agree with that. And Taylor was notably better because defenses had to effectively worry about two running backs. Anthony Richardson, but they weren't running Anthony Richardson enough, so I hope they fix that. Let's get more running out of Anthony Richardson, both in terms of number of designed rushes and the effectiveness of them. We would appreciate that on behalf of all fantasy players. But Richardson's passing to this point of his career has been borderline awful, and all the receivers suffer because of it. None of his receivers outside of Josh Downs become startable. Josh Downs is the one guy that he was okay getting the ball to, not even great. And everybody else, to me, falls off the radar. Pittman was a disaster, and I don't think you want to go any farther down the depth chart than that. So, yeah, it's not great for fantasy overall, but maybe Anthony Richardson can go back to helping us on the ground a little bit.
We're talking to Paul Charchian from Guillotine Leagues and Fantasy Life, getting set for fantasy football this week. Now, in Minnesota, your neck of the woods, Sam Darnold, great story all year. Last couple weeks, been dicey, only 12 points against the Jags, three picks. Where are we at fantasy football-wise for him?
Now, there's some waning confidence in Sam Darnold a bit, including in Minnesota, not just for your fantasy roster. And, you know, the first month of the season, he was on fire. He was in the MVP conversation, early MVP, obviously. But since the first month of the season, Sam Darnold has more interceptions than touchdowns. Granted, he lost his starting left tackle 3 weeks ago, and he's got a throwing hand injury of some kind that they're not telling us about that popped up this past week. But three interceptions last week, two in the end zone, one at the Jaguars' 22-yard line. Now, all of the interceptions were on passes to Justin Jefferson, which I approve of. If we're going to throw interceptions, let's make them to Justin Jefferson. And he missed Jordan Addison open on a lot of plays. He was laser-focused on Justin Jefferson a lot. And here's the thing that's really interesting. After the third interception, which was early in the second half, Darnold was only asked to throw two passes longer than 14 yards. So Kevin O'Connell reeled in that offense a lot. And here comes Tennessee. Tennessee is great. This pass defense is the one thing Tennessee does really well. They rank number one in passing yards allowed, 171 per game. Only Josh Allen has topped 206 yards against Tennessee. So this 206 yards is nothing. This is not a get-right spot for Sam Darnold. I'd show a lot of caution before starting him this week.
Charge, for those who might have like a week left to, you know, like those trade deadlines approaching in fantasy football, a little bit later, obviously, typically, than the people who might have them, who are the running backs you like? I know that Hubbard has really surprised some people, but maybe teams have figured that out by now. Is there a running back you think or a wide receiver you think worth targeting this late?
Yeah, you know, did you see Audric Estime in your game got all
the
work?
He did.
Oh, I picked him up this week.
He got all the work. Yep, and I think you're not alone. And he might be a good trade target as well if you didn't pick him up. He didn't do a lot. It was 3.8 yards per carry. And you're like, well, it's only 3.8. But here's the thing, as you guys know better than anybody, his 53 yards, that was the second most rushing yards for any running back against your Chiefs all year.
Yeah.
That was more than Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, Alvin Kamara, Jordan Mason. I mean, it was actually not a half bad showing by Estime, and he gets Atlanta. That's a much more neutral matchup this week. So, you know, Estime might be a under-the-radar guy who ends up having a really nice second half.
We're talking to Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and Fantasy Life. All right, I don't know if you buy into revenge game stuff. Jameis is always not a reliable fantasy quarterback, but there's definitely some reward that could pay off. What about this week against a bad New Orleans defense?
Well, this is, you know, Winston, it's all or nothing on Winston, right? So he's either, you know, styles you with a great game or you get nothing or maybe even negative points. Fantasy football is supposed to be fun.
He's fun.
What is more fun than YOLO Winston in a revenge game against a struggling defense that just traded away its best defender? This is what it's all about for me. This is why I play fantasy football. I'm starting Jameis Winston in leagues I got him in. You know, it's up against the Saints, and they just traded away Marshawn Lattimore. He was the best player they had in their secondary. Cedric Tillman, this Browns receiver. I mean, Lattimore was the guy you wanted on him. Cedric Tillman's this big-bodied guy. It would have been perfect for Lattimore. He's not available. So all you need to beat the Saints as a quarterback is enough throws. Quarterbacks who have thrown the ball at least 36 times against the Saints are averaging 313 yards. And in his two starts, Winston skied over 36. He's had 41 and 46 passes. So this looks like, you know, if you're going to go all or nothing in a game for Winston, this looks like an all game. And let's give him a crack in this one. He is my quarterback number 11 this week.
Charge, before we ask you about tonight's game, how impressed would you be? I mean, just hypothetically, if someone in Guillotine League's first two picks were Christian McCaffrey and Isaiah Pacheco and they were still alive, would that impress you?
It just sounds like we're talking about your team.
Yeah, that's correct. That is accurate, yes.
That is nicely done. Nicely done. And here's the thing about Pacheco that you guys are probably more plugged into this than others are. What you're getting from Hunt has been good fantasy games, but it's just on volume only. He's averaging 36 yards per carry. He hasn't topped 3.9 yards per carry in any game since week four. He's 31st in avoided tackle rate. He's 37th in yards after contact. I mean, all Hunt is doing is succeeding on volume. And, you know, Pacheco's just way, way better. So in my opinion, and you tell me if I'm wrong, as soon as Pacheco's able to, he's going to take this job from Hunt.
I think there might be a week two transition, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dilemma here. I personally think knowing that they're going to have a playoff run, I think it'll be 70-30 or something like that in favor of Pacheco. I don't know if it'll be much more than that. I think they're going to try to keep both guys fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I just think Pacheco's way better. But
sure,
you're right.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, you're undefeated rolling into week 11, so you obviously have playoff aspirations, and you have the luxury of bringing Pacheco back more slowly. But at the end of the day, man, it gets into these tight games, and you got one running back that's way better than the other one. I think the temptation is going to be to keep Pacheco on the field.
All right, let's look at tonight. Great game in the NFC East. A huge Thursday night matchup. Commanders at the Eagles. Jaden Daniels last week, no touchdowns, struggled a little bit. What do we see from him? Are you confident he can jump right back up?
No, but let's pivot this conversation just for a second. Not enough people talking about the Eagles as Super Bowl contenders. They're on a 5-game winning streak, massive defensive improvements from last year, and during this 5-game winning streak, their margin of victory, 16 points. They're crushing opponents. I mean, are you guys, do the Eagles do anything for you?
We haven't talked about them. I'll be honest. We haven't talked. I do like them tonight to cover the three, but we haven't talked about them. Frankly, you know, in Kansas City, other than mentioning Detroit, we don't talk about the NFC as much because we'll see you in the Super Bowl.
I take them serious, Charge, because I think Saquon changed their fate. Yesterday on the show, I said that was the single biggest offseason addition for any team.
I think you can make a great case about that. I mean, you got to get by Detroit. But the way the Eagles are playing right now, and Detroit does have some fluky stretches where they don't look good, including most of the game last week. So, you know, I just think people are sleeping on the Eagles a little bit. And if they do take care of Jaden Daniels tonight, and I think they will, then I think they're going to start popping up into this conversation a little bit. Right now, by the way, plus 900 for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Let's talk Jaden Daniels. It's a tough matchup, and he's coming off a bad game. Howie Roseman's secondary last year was awful. The Eagles ranked 29th in passing yards allowed. This year, Roseman in the offseason, he puts his first and second round picks into his secondary, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And over the last 5 weeks, the Eagles ranked number one in passing yards allowed. It's a massive, unbelievable turnaround for them. And Daniels, super mobile quarterback. No quarterback has gotten to 20 rushing yards against the Eagles all year. So I think this is going to be another game where Jaden Daniels struggles some, and I think the Eagles end up winning.
Does that mean no Brian Robinson then for you too, based on the Eagles defense?
Well, Robinson, he's their power back. Touchdowns are 100 yards in every game but one, and the Eagles run defense also really, really good. They rank number two in rushing yards allowed at 60 per game behind only your team, the Chiefs. They're giving up 3.7 yards per carry over the last five games. No opposing runners top 53 yards since way back in week two. So don't love Robinson here either.
Jahan Dotson revenge game, you know, 9-1 to get a touchdown tonight,
Jahan
baby.
Revenge game.
Terrible Howie Roseman trade, by the way. They gave up a third round pick for Jahan Dotson. That was a terrible trade.
That was awful. And he's not even getting on the field.
I know.
All day. It's like he's not even on the team. So, yeah, Roseman got absolutely fleeced by the Commanders. When does the Commanders front office fleece anybody? That's an indictment right there.
Yeah, new era there in D.C. Appreciate it, Charge.
Thanks, friends. A lot of fun. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Paul Charge. And every Thursday here on Cody and Goldie's presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drink Scenic Views. It is a really fun Thursday night matchup. I am excited to see how it goes down. And good stat from him there about Jaden Daniels. It's why I bet the under once we heard him say that there on Jaden Daniels' rushing yards. He said that the Eagles have not allowed a quarterback to have over 20 The number right now at FanDuel, Jaden Daniels rushing, is like 42.5. I know he's different than some other quarterbacks.
For
sure. Special. But I got a 20-plus yard gap. They could give up more yards than they have all year to a quarterback 35, let's say, and it's still under. So I'm going to go under. I also like the Eagles tonight anyway. So
I told you, there is a long losing streak of teams who faced the Steelers the week before. There are 6 straight losses.
And it's a short week.
For the teams who've done it, short week doesn't help. All the other stuff that kind of goes into it. But this is one of 3. There are only 3 really viewable games this weekend in the NFL. The rest stink. It's like a big college football slate. Once tonight. Eagles, Washington, massive game for first place in the NFC East. Huge game between 2 teams with 8 and 7 wins. The Chiefs and Bills, obviously, is the biggest game of the weekend. And then, yeah, Ravens Steelers.
I think Chargers.
Pretty important game.
I'll throw Chargers Cincy in there because if the Chargers win that one, then I think we have to talk about them a little bit differently in terms of like, then they're almost guaranteed a playoff spot. Of course, the reverse, if Cincinnati wins, then they're still under 500, but are they still alive? If they lose and go to 4-7, I think they'll even get Drew to admit that they're possibly toast. So Sunday night, I would throw that one in as well. All right, let's go to baseball for a second, though, because there's some news potentially in regards to where you can watch the Royals next season. You might have been following a little bit that the bankruptcy stuff involving Diamond Sports, right? They were in charge of and owned Bally Sports, the regional networks, and since have rebranded as FanDuel Sports Network. Bankruptcy is complete. A lot of the teams that had existing contracts renegotiated. One team that still is negotiating is the Kansas City Royals. If the Royals are actually able to renegotiate and they stick with Diamond Sports under the FanDuel name now, FanDuel announced a deal with Amazon yesterday that they will distribute their product through Amazon Prime Video for an added cost, and local blackout restriction stuff still applies. So, yeah, you know, it's the same.
You can't watch the Royal.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Calls on Amazon in Dubuque.
Wherever the restrictions are. I like this if the Royals sign up this route because, one, it's another avenue to watch it. And my understanding is this is not the only way you can watch it. It's an additional one. If you're someone that has a YouTube TV that gets the add-on for FanDuel TV or you have Spectrum, this shouldn't change anything for you. But we all know the Bally app stunk. It just did. It crashed a lot. We know the Amazon Prime app is way better. They have Thursday Night Football, for crying out loud, live sporting event going through that, and it works just fine. At least it does for me. So I like this opportunity. I don't know what the cost is. Is it going to be $19.99? Is it going to be $12.99? It's going to be an additional cost. That was never going to not happen. But let's see. If the Royals do re-up, they will join a list of teams that decided to re-up, and now you'll have an opportunity to watch them on Amazon through the FanDuel Sports Network.
All this seems like good news to me. Bally's app did stink. I paid for it because I wanted to watch the Royals.
Yeah, of course.
$20 a month is about what I would pay for MLB. Like, if I were at a market, I've paid for MLB TV before because I just used a VPN.
If you have T-Mobile, you end up getting it for free every year. That's what I've been using. Yeah.
Before the Bally's app, right? I would go that road just so I could watch the Royals games. For those who are complaining, this is easier access for you. This is not a new app, not a new subscription, not a new way to find a subscription. It is an app most Americans already have in Amazon Prime, so you're prepared and ready to handle it that way. What I actually think is secretly happening here is I think Major League Baseball is trying, thank God, and I don't think they'll ever succeed, but we'll see. They are trying to get everyone under one umbrella. The Cincinnati Reds today announced that they will also be under Major League Baseball's self-distributed model here going forward, which is why I think the Royals haven't gotten a deal done yet with Bally. They're probably trying to decide between former Diamond Sports Group, now FanDuel TV, and Major League Baseball. With the Reds, Major League Baseball now has seven of the Major League teams in-house distributing. I think baseball wants to do it like football. I think baseball wants to have all the properties being shared together, ergo, TV revenue being shared equally amongst teams.
Hey, good luck.
I think it is the pie in the sky, way too probably optimistic thought by Major League Baseball. But honest to God, I appreciate them trying. Get enough, get half, get enough. Maybe you can bully these big market teams, because that's the closest you'll ever get to an equal playing field in baseball. You're never going to get a salary cap. You're never going to get these things that like truly make a sport equal. But the TV rights thing, that would bring a level of equality that at least they don't have now. So I like that Major League Baseball is trying this. I think that's what's secretly happening. But honestly, this seems like a good deal. I think I have to pay for the Royals no matter what. They're not going to be on 41. No one's going to give up 81 nights on their TV program.
Exactly. It's just different than trying to get football on CBS. It's a lot easier to do that than as many games of inventory it would require to have a professional baseball team's entire allotment. 162 games, not even 80. We're talking about 100. It's 162. I mean, you can't put that on Fox 4. There's no way.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just no way. YouTube TV. I think that's what a lot of people want. Hulu Live or YouTube TV or Direct TV. I just want it on, like, if I have a standard cable package, even if I have to pay a little bit extra for the sports package or whatever, if I have what equates to, because YouTube TV is essentially cable light. I just want to be able to watch it there, even if it's an additional cost. I want it where I already consume the stuff, not this stupid Bally app that doesn't work. This seems like a win for me.
Amazon Prime app would be fine by me. I mean, I think there's enough people use it. You're already paying a membership in to Amazon, so okay, whatever the add-on is, you bump it up another X amount of dollars. It's probably going to still show up as the same charge together. Like that would work for me. We'll see. I'm with you. I think based on the Kansas City Star reporting, they think this could happen this week. An announcement. We know they're negotiating. Someone says the cost of FanDuel Sports Network is $19.99 as well. Yeah, I don't think you were alluding to it earlier. I don't think the cost necessarily is going to change. I just think it's the accessibility part and the reach that the new deal could have. But I don't think suddenly you're only going to pay $4.99 to add it on to Amazon. That would be a steal considering other deals. And I understand we all in a perfect world would love to just be able to access it for no additional fee. That's just not where things are trending. This isn't 1999 or 2002 RSTN. That's not happening.
Yeah. And if it's, again, if it's 1999, it's 1999. And that's what I was paying before. But at least it's in a more convenient location. I am looking it up. On FanDuel Sports Network right now, it does show $19.99 if paid monthly. If you were to buy it right now, is what it claims it costs to have FanDuel Sports Network. But that's for like Thunder and Blues and
But that's the same grouping. I mean, we all know in the Bally app, that's what you were paying. Like, right, if you did not cancel your Bally subscription at the end of the Royal season, right now you can hop on there depending on where you're at, because there's Thunder blackout restrictions in the NBA happen too when they're on national television. You can watch Thunder games. You want to watch SGA or whatever? Yeah.
I'm just trying to think about, was it 6 months the baseball season? Essentially, if you pay
you're signing up in April. Okay. There you go.
You know,
see. It's not a done deal yet. Anytime we bring this up, people always text in.
They want it for free.
The pirated stuff. Yeah, obviously, I'm well aware there's other services. We're obviously not going to talk about what are illegal service options for people. That's not a realistic option for most people. And
You're welcome to search those out. I'm sure Stream East will take your business.
Sure, but like, we always get these texts like, you guys forget that you can just do this for $5 a month and get 100 million channels. Like, yeah, we're not talking about illegal services. When we talk about anything related to television rights or whatever, we're obviously not including the illegal ones in a realistic conversation.
I mean, those are available, but again,
99% of people are not going to go the illegal option.
Because the whole thing comes down to like, it's like, think about the middle viewer of this, right? A 55-year-old person, like, you think they're just like, I'm not saying no, but like, I'd have a hard time.
They're not debugging their Fire Stick and going through the, like, come on.
They're not going to jailbreak their Fire Stick just to put Stream East on it so they can get everything for $100.
Yeah.
Look, Alex and I have hypothetically looked on a website that had some available services for less than market value. That site might have been given to us. I mean, if I were to look for a site like that, there might be people like, I don't know, Carrington Harrison in the building, who might know where to access those things.
Damn.
Hypothetically.
This is a hypothetical.
Have I ever looked at those sites? No. But are they available? Yes.
Someone says, wait, $5 for 100 million channels, Gold, where's that at? It's out there, you know? It's out there somewhere.
Someone from the 816, illegal, right up Cody's alley.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then earlier today, we went up to Buffalo. We talked with our friend Mike Shope. We got some insight. How are they viewing the Chiefs? And does he agree that they should be underdogs? That's next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending. Thank goodness CBS Sports is out there doing the work of the people, because so many people were concerned whether or not the NFL did in fact play a role in scheduling the Chiefs and Bills this weekend.
Liars.
Conjunction with Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. CBS Sports reached out to the NFL. CBS Sports got this back. Said, quote, yes, it is completely unintentional, a league source said about the scheduling of the Chiefs while Taylor Swift is also performing in Toronto. This was the weird conspiracy when the schedule went out. Remember that crap? Of course it's a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. I think it's absolutely true.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. The NFL doesn't care about their viewership at all.
She's been in enough games now. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, I don't think, like, that thing was big last year. Now, I don't know about you. When she's at a game now, it's like, okay, cool. I expect her to be at a game.
Yeah, I do too. Next up on Watch Trending, John Gruden has signed a multi-year deal with Barstool Sports to continue their NFL coverage. Signifies to me he ain't ever going to be a head coach. Well, who was that a couple of weeks ago? Somebody on ESPN suggested he become the Jets' next head coach. That's wild.
Was that Rex Ryan?
Gruden and Rodgers, Woody Johnson all buddied up there in New York. What a disaster that would be.
Next on What's Trending, we now know where the Rays are going to play the 2025 season. Of course, the terrible hurricane conditions following that damaged the roof. It was going to cost $55 million to have it up and running for 2026. So they're going to play at the Yankee Spring Training Complex, Steinbrenner Field, for 2025. The Yankees will actually gain about $15 million in additional revenue this season, of course, because since they need extra money due to the Rays playing their home games at Yankee Spring Training facilities. The Royals do play out in Tampa, of course, in April.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy, though. 11,000-seat stadium, that's still below, technically, their season average. So I guess it'll be a sellout all year long. Nothing but sellouts for Tampa Bay the rest of this year.
$15 million the Yankees are going to make off of this.
I told you, like, I don't pay for a bunch of sporting events. Obviously, we're lucky enough to get to go through some for work. Big fan of freakazoid things, like one-offs that make no sense. Like, it's why I was tempted to go to the Kansas game at Sporting Park or, like, this game in Tampa Bay. Never been tempted to go to a Tampa Bay Rays game. I am now. I'm curious to watch this game in this random trip, you know, this random, you know, fall, essentially, or spring training facility. Next up on What's Trending, Lindsey Vonn says she'll return to Olympic training to try to compete in the 2026 Winter Olympics. That's after a six-year hiatus from the sport.
40 years old when she, by the time...
40.
By the time the next Olympics comes around.
Three-time medalist.
Yeah. That's quite...
100-plus events won in her career.
We'll see if she actually qualifies for the next Olympics. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, huge game Sunday in Buffalo. You can hear the game on 96.5 The Fan. Earlier today, we went up to Buffalo to talk with Mike Shope from WGR 550, our sister station, to find out exactly how they feel about the Chiefs. And basically, this is something we do every single year now. Five straight years, Chiefs-Bills.
Here we go again. It's like a division rivalry almost with even higher stakes. I'm old enough to remember the Bills and Chiefs playing twice a year in the 80s because they both finished last in five-team divisions, and that's how the schedule worked back then. I went to a game between these teams in 1986. So anyway, too long ago to talk about or care about. But, yeah, I mean, here we go again. It's right, and the likelihood of a playoff rematch really makes the importance of this game interesting to talk about.
Absolutely. The number one seed we'll get into as well. One thing we were discussing before we had you on was the stadium conversations here in Kansas City as it relates to the Chiefs and the Royals. This thing's been going on for a couple of years, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys have a new stadium that's already, you know, I don't know, 25% done or more or something like that. How did that all play out, and why is that stadium is outdoor, and how come no retractable roof?
I mean, those are good questions, and the politics of it all, I don't know how many of those questions I could answer, but they figured out a way for most of the stadium to be public money, of course, just what we all need in the world is more football stadiums that'll be used 10 times a year, you know, and
they'll put some concerts there. Come on.
It's outdoors.
Not here. I mean, a couple, maybe, hopefully, but they wanted to keep the quote integrity of the Bills stadium experience. But they are, there's a partial roof, like they're covering some of it, and it's supposed to be ready by week one of 26.
Okay.
So the Bills have the rest of this year. It's mostly up. I mean, it's kind of cool to look at. Every week you'll see on Sunday, the networks show the progress of the stadium. So the Bills will play in their current stadium next year, and then they'll move.
When you look at what the Chiefs and Bills are, I guess that's what you said, hey, for the future potential matchup, even in Buffalo, a team that is 3-1 against Kansas City in the regular season, you must admit that this game, from a if you beat the Chiefs, doesn't say anything about what happens later.
I don't know. It depends what it looks like, right? I mean, if this for some reason this game isn't close, then we'll have certain takeaways that we wouldn't otherwise have. The standings are the whole thing. Like, if the Bills win, they're one loss behind the Chiefs for the top seed, and they'll have beaten them, which makes that very much in play. The betting markets still don't think there's really that much of a chance anyway, the way it looks to me. Like,
yeah,
they still, the over-under on Kansas City is 14.5 with the schedule the Chiefs have, but you never know. There's so much of the season left. The Bills have to play this game like it means a lot. So, I mean, I would not fault them for that. And if they lose, then it's kind of over for the one seed, which makes, it, for one thing, our job's interesting down the stretch. You'll have the undefeated chase. The Bills are almost a lock for the AFC East already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody else has even four wins in the division. The Bills have eight, and they've swept Miami. It would have to be the Bills. I mean, guys, if the Bills lost their next four games, Kansas City, San Francisco, Rams, Lions, they would still be the division favorite after that. So what we talk about, what they have to shoot for in that eventuality, we'll see if we get there. But if Buffalo wins the game, then they're going hard for the one seed, and with good reason.
The problem is, if Buffalo loses the game, then the one seed's done. Like week 11 and it's done. Right. The Chiefs are the one seed, right?
Right. I mean, three losses behind with the tiebreaker and Kansas City schedule. Then it becomes for the Chiefs a matter of going undefeated. This would have to be their hardest game left. They're underdogs. So,
right.
I don't know. It's a question for you guys, like just how serious a thing that is, but it could be, it seems like it should be something that matters to teams.
No doubt. I think for us, it's been, hey, if they can get past this one, then I'll really start the undefeated conversation. Until then, it's a fun thing to look at, but you got to get through this one first. And along those same lines, then how confident are you guys in Buffalo in this Bills team this go around? If you compare it to the playoff matchup going in last year or the regular season game here at Arrowhead where you guys won, how would you rate the confidence compared to those?
Well, I think the fan base is different than I am on this one. What I tend to hear from analysts, I talked to Rob Gronkowski a couple of days ago, and name drop, sorry.
And yeah, slide that in there. No problem. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Gronk. Mm-hmm. I call him Gronk.
They must hate him in Buffalo.
Not really. He's born here. So
oh, okay.
He's like, he makes a point that a lot of people make, the fans like to make, which is it's more promising this year because this really is naming Diggs without saying his name, that there's less selfishness, you know, everybody's involved. It's more of a team than maybe it was in the past. I don't really go for that so much. It's true that Diggs' production late in seasons fell off. And so, I mean, in that Chief game, that last drive in the playoffs, Allen, I think, went 6 for 9 on that drive. He went 0 for 3 to Diggs. Like that, his misses, or maybe it was, you know, at least to a point on that drive. Anyway, like, so he has had tough second halves the last 2 years, and it could be right that having a more balanced attack is better for them. I just tend to think I'd rather have the alpha. I'd rather have the guy that you have to double team like the Chiefs did in the playoffs, Hopkins. You know, I'd rather have that. But it's good vibes with the Bills. I mean, they're 8-2. They've had injuries. They've gotten through it. The division is in shambles. So I think there's plenty of optimism. Overall, though, it's still, because of the history, it's muted. It's just not off the rails here for excitement until they beat this team in the playoffs. Not even Sunday. Like, it really, the playoff script has to change. And then, I mean, the roof blows off this town. But because there have been these losses, I think everybody is kind of generally a little bit guarded.
When you look at what they're doing offensively, I guess I'll ask you, they're the only team in the NFL without a passing touchdown of 20 or more yards, which is weird for the Bills. Certainly a team that still gets the big play. Where are they offensively as far as, like, what do you think they're really good at still? And where do you think, like, we know with the Chiefs, you know better than us, where do they still need to be better on offense?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, Dalton Kincaid was kind of a first-round pick in 23, supposed to be this kind of seam stretcher type. That has just not happened. Like, he's his max, I think, in a game this year is 52 yards. Now he's injured, and his status is very much in doubt for this game. Amari Cooper was acquired. I mean, the Bills were winning, but they still went and did that because they were not getting, like you're saying, the air yards player, the deep threat. And he has barely played. In 4 weeks, he has 5 catches. He's missed the last 2 games. And with him, we're talking about pain tolerance, and it might be a little, there might be some tension when it comes to him at this point. And Keon Coleman is already out for this game. So what are they? They're Mac Hollins, Dawson Knox, Khalil Shakir, who's good for his 6 for 70 every week, never drops a ball, never scores. And then I guess Curtis Samuel. And really, where it starts is mostly James Cook. And I think for this game, what will be a really an interesting clue, when the Bills have played Kansas City, always for high stakes, Josh Allen has run a lot, double digits. I think it's like 5 games in a row he's run, including playoffs, for at least 10 times. And that's something the Bills really wouldn't prefer to have happen. But this is maybe where we realize just how high they think the stakes are for this game if Allen runs a lot. You know, if he does, that tells you. If he doesn't, what is it? It's James Cook and, you know, short passes.
When you look at defensively, this is, again, the outsider's perspective. I think they're significantly, like, significant is relative. I do not think that this is nearly as good of a defense as they've had over the last 3 years. I think there's a drop-off in their level of play, and I think that happens a lot in defenses in the NFL. You see them every week. Is there a drop-off?
Slightly. I've been really impressed. I mean, maybe there is, but they got younger this year. The pass rush is working out. Rousseau has really been good. Von Miller is back. I think that's interesting if the Chiefs have trouble at the edges in this game. I mean, Mahomes always gets the ball out, but hasn't been as easy this year, to say the least, maybe. I think they're vulnerable at linebacker. They won't get Matt Milano back for this game, but he might come back still. Like, what I see is when teams have success against their defense, they're throwing over the middle, they're running between the tackles, and I don't know, like, Kansas City is Kansas City, but is that exactly... I mean, I don't know. Running Kareem Hunt doesn't worry me for this game at all. Like, they're so inefficient. The corners for the Bills, Douglas and Benford, have been great. And so, again, this is not like the perfect matchup in Buffalo's case for what they're facing here with, you know, edge wide receivers, boundary receivers. But they've been really strong there, and for the most part, otherwise, they've held up.
We were having a bigger picture conversation about Mahomes and Allen. I think these are number one, number two quarterbacks in football. And a fun hypothetical, if Mahomes was in the NFC this entire time and Josh Allen was still in the AFC, what do you think the career accomplishments would be looking like for Allen? How many Super Bowls, MVPs. How many appearances? What do you think it would look like for Allen?
It would have to be better. I don't know if they would have made it or won yet. It's hard to say they would have won a Super Bowl if they've lost to this team in the playoffs, but maybe they would have gone. I think Lamar Jackson is on the same level. And so maybe it's him once, maybe it's Allen once, maybe it's Burrow once. He made it once, obviously. I think it's probably more like that. I think the MVP thing is really fascinating. Jackson, I thought there was no way he would win this year because he's got two, and there's a legacy element to that vote. But he is like almost even money right now with the season. He's having the best season of his career, and you have him playing at Pittsburgh at one, which is that's a tough spot. And then these two guys at 425, it'll be interesting to see how the race maybe shakes up a little bit this week.
I'm with you. I think we were discussing this off air that if the Chiefs win, then obviously Mahomes for MVP, Andy for Coach the Reader alive. If they lose, I think both markets are dead for Mahomes and for Andy to win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if Mahomes goes 22 touchdown passes and 16 picks, but they go 17-0, he wins. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The MVP is always a top team. You know, Jackson won by, he got 49 out of 50 votes last year. He wasn't bad or anything, but Baltimore was much the best team all season. So, like, that was that. And I feel like, you know, we talk about Allen for this. My problem with the idea going into the year of him winning is the Bills are going to have to win 13 games, and I just didn't see it for this team. But now they're 8-2. And that's very possible. So his chances are probably as good as ever.
Last question I have for you, Mike, at least on the other end, I think a lot of times in these big matchups, the one thing we forget, we talk about quarterbacks, defense, offense, stars, whatever. And we forget to talk about the coaches, the difference between. Where are you in Buffalo right now on the level of coach you guys think Sean McDermott is?
Well, he's done such a great job over the years. I mean, taking a team that had done nothing for so long to this level, he deserves more credit than I think he gets. He's never, by the way, in the Coach of the Year conversation. You can say what you want about that. But they've had significant changes to the roster this year. Veterans left defensively, like I put it earlier. I think they've held up fine. Injuries, too. I think he deserves much of the credit for that. And, you know, when it comes to Allen, there's really, I don't think, a lot between them. But he's done a very respectable job. He and Reed, of course, are linked back to Philadelphia. And so there's that history, too. But, you know, everybody here is jealous of what the Chiefs have with Mahomes and Reed because Reed is an offensive guy. And that's always the dilemma in Buffalo after these playoff seasons go away. And it's like, when are we going to admit? People say this. I don't really like to. When are we going to admit that the Bills have to have an offensive-minded head coach? If your coordinator really does a great job, he leaves.
Right.
And we'll see if that happens this year, too. But that piece is significant in how people sort of interpret the jobs they do. But for what McDermott's value is in terms of how the defense plays and the, quote, culture of the whole thing here, he gets A's.
Hey, if and when Brian Daboll gets fired from the Giants and Joe Brady gets another job, you guys can just bring back Brian, right?
Problem solved.
I do not think that will happen.
That happened with Matt Nagy. It could happen.
Well, go back and look up the post-game handshake between the Bills and the Giants last year.
That's done, huh? That relationship is soured, you're telling me.
It looked like it.
All right, Mike. Appreciate it, man. It's been fun to talk. I'm sure we'll be checking in January.
Can't wait. I'm already ready for it.
So that was Mike Shope at WGR 550 a little bit earlier on today. As we were listening to that, too, a little update out of Buffalo injury-wise for wide receiver Amari Cooper. He's acting like he's going to play on Sunday. Remember, Keon Coleman already out, so it could be Cooper who has only played in a handful of games dealing with an injury. I would expect Cooper to play on Sunday.
I mean, if you can get back out on the field, and I know like they have a Minshew and Pacheco coming back, they can't get back on the field yet. Then get him back on the field, like especially if you're without Keon Coleman. Otherwise, your only real weapon in the passing game is Khalil Shakir, and you kind of limit yourself on what you can do offensively. He made it sound like he was going to come back, and I think if you were saying that on Thursday, you're playing on Sunday.
I agree. Yeah, well, he's also just missed multiple games, and just like Juju, it's like, hey, maybe you could have gone last week, but you slowly bring him along for this game. I mean, even more so for Buffalo, as Mike was laying out, like they lose this one, they're suddenly what, four back with tiebreakers for the number one seed. The Bills would be.
No, it's a huge. I'm not even like I'm trying not to even be hyperbolic. it's borderline impossible for the Chiefs not to be the one seed if they win this game on Sunday.
It'll be 10-0 and all the tiebreakers.
Which is crazy because it's only week 11. But they would be 10-0 and they'd be three games up on every team, and they'd have the tiebreaker on at least two of those teams. So we would take the Steelers beating the Chiefs and finishing with a better record, or the Texans beating the Chiefs and finishing with a better record, when they already have three more losses than those teams. It requires them to be nearly perfect and the Chiefs to play 500 or worse, essentially the rest of the way, for anyone in the AFC to catch them. That's why this game is not just massive for the normal reasons, but massive for so many more. The Chiefs in week 11 of the NFL season can all but guarantee the number one seed in the NFL playoffs for a team that has had to play, I don't know, half a season more's worth of games over the last five seasons. I mean, how many more games have they played than Buffalo, Cincinnati, the Ravens? 10? 8? I mean, by some teams, 10. By some, 5 or 6. They play more games than anyone. If you can get a couple of weeks off at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's not just a perfect season conversation if you win against Buffalo. It becomes how do you manage the rest of the way? And knowing that this is also a year where they have, what is it, 4 games in 17 days or whatever, right around Christmas and New Year's, Cleveland and Houston and Pittsburgh, how they navigate that becomes way more fascinating, actually, if they win. If they lose, well, then it might be games they have to have for seeding purposes. If they win, that game against the Texans, other than just a fun Stroud-Mahomes matchup, may not mean anything. Yeah, the Texans
Steelers game,
might have their division locked up, depending on if Anthony Richardson finds something out during the 2 weeks that he had off and now is back to being a starter for the Colts, and they can put some pressure on Houston. But if I'm not mistaken, the Colts already were swept this year by the Texans. So they would have to finish with more wins than the Texans. They can't win a tiebreaker.
No, they're just... Some of this, the AFC is, the NFC, God knows. God knows who's going to be the number one seed. Who knows who the hell the playoff teams are going to be. Like, just kind of a mess over there. But on the AFC side, some of the other teams already eliminated themselves from the number one seed. I think the Texans already did that. I've already told you that I think, you know, like anybody in the AFC West, fried. I think the only team remaining is Buffalo. I think the Ravens did it by not just losing to the Chiefs, but losing too many games after losing to the Chiefs. They've knocked themselves out of the race. It's just, right now, technically, I think it's just Pittsburgh and Buffalo. And Pittsburgh's schedule, I mean, unless they're really, truly the goods.
Yeah, I mean, if I told you the Chiefs lose on Sunday and the Steelers beats Baltimore on Sunday, then it becomes a little more interesting. I don't think both are happening. Maybe one. Maybe the Chiefs lose to Buffalo. I don't think we're going to see Pittsburgh winning and the Chiefs losing this weekend. I like Baltimore quite a bit, actually, as a matter of fact, heading into this one. But you said it. They got every divisional game left. The Steelers do. Every single one. Two against the Ravens and two against Cincinnati in particular. And the Browns one probably will sweep that. But
if the Chiefs win, and then it doesn't really matter if the Steelers win or lose, in my opinion. Like, they're not going undefeated the rest of the way. They're going to finish with more than 3 or 4 losses, Pittsburgh.
Thanks to Mike Shope again for joining us up at WGR 550 in Buffalo. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, you're back at it. I'll be out tomorrow. Sister's getting married this weekend. I'll be back on Monday. And game predictions up on Instagram and all our social media tomorrow, if you're wanting. You'll do the game predictions, but I won't have time to do that. So
will you send me yours so that the people can know?
Yeah, you can pass along the official word.
I don't think our audience will survive unless they know what your prediction
is. That's right. That's very true. All right, that does it for us. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.